Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 187, episode 2 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. That was guttural.
Yeah.
From our special guest co-host today. It's Wednesday, June 2nd, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Guess who's back? Back again. It is Jack, to do trends, and the show... TDZ with Miley and Hosney and all right, that's all I got. And I'm thrilled to be joined as not as always, but as
almost
I am occasionally by our special guest co-host. I'm really burgundying it. If you have it on the script, I'm gonna read it, assholes. Okay, thrilled to be joined by today's very special guest co-host. He is the one-time producer of this show. He is the very talented, very lovely, Mr. DJ Daniel Goodman!
It seems to me you stream sometimes, and for Daniel, that's a win. Sometimes playing it takes two, and he always wins.
Shout out Chris Yamaguchi Man for that double win-win rhyme. That's okay, fam. It's okay. It was a very last second, a.k.a. you don't need to feel bad about it. But yes, hello. Hi, DJ Daniel here. So thrilled to be back on the podcast.
Wow. And he went with, for someone named Daniel, he didn't go with the Daniel song by Elton John.
You're right. You know? I could have gone with a totally different Elton John song dedicated to me, but alas.
Dano, my co-host, you are younger than me. I should have done it. That. That's on me, bro. Because that song's not written from the perspective of Daniel. It's written by his relation.
That's fair. Very fair. Very fair.
And we are relations. as if it's not... enough to have one total asshole on the show today, and DJ Daniel, we got another one for you. He is the host of the Secretly Incredibly Fascinating podcast, one of the finest humans that I've ever known, formerly the host of the Cracked podcast, a very talented and hilarious human being. He is Mr. Alex Schmidt!
Wow. Thank you guys so much for having me back. It's an honor. Yay. And such a nice intro. I think I only laughed over most of it. So thank you for having me.
AKA Schmitty the Clam. What's happening, man?
Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm doing great. We're vaccinated. We're healthy. It's summer.
Yeah.
We're just talking about. I just got engaged. I'm thrilled about it. I'm very excited. There's just a lot of good things going on.
There are a lot of good things.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to you and your lovely fiance. Congratulations to you both.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I had my optimism for post-pandemic times tempered by having to travel last week and then deciding to travel unwisely this weekend. And it's wild out there. We'll actually get to that.
Like the airports?
Yeah, the airports are wild. The Amtrak is wild. Mm. You know, we did a train trip because the 5-year-old is super into trains right now. So we did that. And that was fun. But then... I don't even know if I should say what we did because we're going to get demolished.
But, it doesn't matter.
We went to SeaWorld, okay?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
You're like, no, I meant it doesn't matter. You don't have to say it.
Oh, no.
Oh, Jack. No. Because the San Diego Zoo was sold out and I did all this last minute because that's the kind of guy I am, really scrambling. But SeaWorld sucks, not just because of its... politics and treatment of animals, but because it is a bad place to go.
Mm. All right.
Anyways, but the zoo, not a bad place. Alex, you used to work at a zoo.
Yeah.
Among many interesting things about you, you used to work at a zoo. You are a one-time Jeopardy champion, but the zoo thing is relevant to the sentence that I just said. Can you talk about that a little bit, your zoo experience?
I think you just listed my two greatest dreams as a child, which I very fortunately gotten to do. I wanted to be a zoo tour guide and win Jeopardy, and then I did it.
Hell yeah.
And it was the Brookfield Zoo outside Chicago. I was a tour guide there. I was a motor safari adventure guide. It's like a 3-car tram where you stand on the back or drive in the front. Show people animals. It's amazing.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was picturing you on a motorcycle when you said motor safari. Kind of like Chris Pratt in Jurassic World.
Oh, in Jurassic Park? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I train a bear to be my friend, like that one raptor. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Come on, Barry. Yes. And then it comes with me. Yeah, save people.
You're just buds.
You're just buds.
All right. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about today. You know, we got a blast from the recent past over the weekend when there was a Q conference or a Q, I don't know.
QCon.
Do your own research festival. And we learned that a lot of people still believe in Q. They were specifically calling for a Myanmar style coup in America. We'll talk about what that means. We'll also talk about why there's reason to believe the president is still on board the Q train. We will talk about how Americans officially don't know how to act post pandemic.
Incredible
scenes. Blame them necessarily, but yes, just some. We'll blame a few of them.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
Yeah, we'll talk about why that is, some coping mechanisms. And we'll talk about possibly the effect weather continues to have on COVID spread and whether that's being underreported. We will talk about the weekend box office, BAFOBO.
BAFOBO is back, baby.
As we all like to say, a phrase that we all like to use. We'll talk about how A Quiet Place 2 did, about what people were hoping it would. And we'll interpret that, read those tea leaves. And then we will, of course, do Anna Hosnier's streaming corner.
Yeah.
All of that, plenty more. But first, Alex, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Yeah, I went and checked, and I recently searched for Wingspan card game. Because we went for, like, one of our first sitting down indoors with peoples has been board game nights. And we played this amazing game where you just gather cards with birds on them and feel like you're one with nature. It's amazing.
What?
So I bought it. Very excited.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What? It's like, sorry, I'm having trouble.
It's like real life Pokemon cards. Is that what we're seeing?
Right. It's like bird watching, but indoor bird watching.
Yeah, it's basically, and it's a beautiful game because every card is a different bird. There's no duplicates. And so you just try to catch all of the birds that you want and then lay the most eggs and put the most in a tree. And like, it's competitive, but it's not brutal. You know, a lot of these advanced board games, it's like you get together to crush each other, you know, and this one, you just try to get the best birds together.
I love it.
It's just a really nice time. But the birds do all have like power-ups and special abilities. It's a pretty fun way to think about like chickadees.
I'm talking about.
You know?
Yes, let's go. Yeah, that's fantastic.
And is it a collector? Like, do you go and buy a single set that is the same for everybody who buys that single set? Or is it like Magic the Gathering and Pokemon where you can get like a super bird?
Are there gold foil? Are there foil birds?
Right, just a hologram eagle or whatever.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
The main box is North America. I've gone very deep on this catalog. They also have a European expansion, so you can get some Euro birds going on. It's a whole thing. Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know. That's been a very comfy, like, spending time with people indoors again. Because there's a game element, and you do that, and then you reacclimatize to, like, seeing other humans besides your one or two or more people in your house. It's great.
That sounds like the most civilized post-pandemic activity that I can possibly imagine.
Definitely.
Compared to what we will discuss in a moment. What is something you think is overrated?
I think winter can go suck a lemon. Don't eat it. If you're in the Southern Hemisphere, I'm sorry, but we're out of that season and I'm really glad about it. There's nothing actually good about it and we can forget it. This is the best time right now.
Yeah. Amen. Are you spring? Has spring sprung, or are you getting into the summer days where you are on the East Coast?
Yeah, North Carolina, we're getting real summer. And so it is hot, but I don't know. I grew up with winter outside Chicago, and then I went to college in winter in Syracuse. And as soon as I wasn't there,
I went to college in winter.
Yeah.
It's just like when it comes to Syracuse, that is winter. It is a geographic location where winter has come and continues to stay.
Yeah. Doesn't mess around. Yeah.
Did you miss it when you lived in Los Angeles?
Not even a little bit. It was amazing. Right. I was like, oh, you can just not deal with this. Fantastic.
Right.
It was an option this whole time, just south of us, you know? It was great.
Right. Yeah. I missed the rhythm a little bit, not enough to ever move away from Los Angeles, but I do enjoy just the discomfort and shittiness of the rest of the country has to put up with. No, it does like kind of break up time a little bit in a way
that
makes long-term memory easier to comprehend. But
it also breaks up outfits nicely.
Yeah,
that is the one thing that I miss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like I totally agree with you where it's like winter totally can suck a lemon. I'm not with it. I don't want slush in my boots, but I do miss being able to wear a long coat in that fall area right before winter when it's like, ooh, it's nice to bundle up a little bit, put a scarf on. I miss that. Whereas like, I you know, it could be the most warming up I will do is putting on slightly thicker sweatpants out here in LA. And that's it. So, you know, I would love to put a coat on again. That just sounds nice.
Yeah. People who grew up in LA like fetishize winter, like Miles and Daniel. They have winter outfits for no reason.
For absolutely no reason at all.
Yeah.
It's like maybe for those 3 days we travel to the East Coast for Thanksgiving and that's about it.
Yeah, I want winter as a treat for a little bit, right? I want to briefly watch the Peanuts go ice skating in a special.
There you go.
And then it's cold outside for the 2 days a minute and then forget
little
it. That was enough. Like, a little taste. Fun. Yeah.
What is something you think is underrated?
I'm going to go with the novel Frankenstein because I don't know about other people. Sometimes I will read to try to get sleepy. You know, like you read a little bit of a book and that knocks you out. And earlier in the pandemic, I was like, how can I just grab a book? Project Gutenberg, what do they have? And I forgot how good the novel Frankenstein is. I could not sleep. I was like, okay, time for a little sleepy reading. And it was gripping. Like that book still works. It's really well done. Everyone should read it if they haven't. It's 200 years old, still fun.
Yeah. You know, the Frankenstein's actually the doctor's name, Alex. I don't know if you knew that. but
what?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You're probably reading it with visions of like Herman Munster in your head, but nope. Frankenstein was actually the doctor. First time I read it, it was very confusing to me.
I got a whole paper to rewrite. Oh, for goodness
sake. Oh, damn it.
Yeah. The high schooler's going to fail his class.
Did we all read it in school? I feel like it comes up in school, yeah. And it's one of the few science fiction, horror, anything that you get to read there.
Yeah, that's true. It was like one of the cooler books that you got to read in school. And also, I wish they had taught the story about how it was written, because wasn't it like a week-long like group party, like opium bender? Like, wasn't everybody just like getting drunk and high in a cabin writing it together?
Yeah, a couple of writers all at once, and Mary Shelley was, I think, 19 or 18.
Yeah.
So this is basically a high school senior turning out a globe-spanning significant book in a party with weird people. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, that's the movie. You know, when people say, that's the movie.
Right.
That's the movie. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't have told me that in high school, that a 19-year-old got fucked up for a week and wrote one of the great works of English literature. Yeah, that's a good one. All right. Well, speaking of important culture, I do want to mention something. It's a belated update on a story we've been following loosely, and that is the story of Blippi, the children's entertainer, orange and blue. Are his colors, speaking of Syracuse. Mm.
Yeah, and Chicago Bears. I was surrounded by orange and blue my entire upbringing.
Nice.
And the Knicks, who unfortunately will be mentioned later on in this because of certain fans' behavior. But yeah, so Blippi, you know, he came up because he's very popular with children. I've managed to kind of keep my kids away from him for the most part. It hasn't like taken over their lives the way other entertainers have, but one time he shit on his friend's chest on camera when he was a younger man. His name back then was Steve Grossman.
That's a good episode of Blippi, though, right? Like, you go all out when you're making Blippi. You got to bring it. Can't go halfway.
Yeah. I was just going to add, not to be a actually or here, but I do believe it was his friend's ass that he shit on. And to me, that's just I just love that detail. And that, you know, there could be like a prank element to it where someone was sleeping and you poop on their chest. But the fact that it was the butt seems so much more premeditated. It's like you had to stick the ass out and everything and then poop on it. I don't know. I love that. I feel that detail so crucial and different, unique to a defecation story.
Yeah, we actually, just as an update on how I'm doing, Alex, we once spent an entire episode talking about this. That's where I'm at.
So but good I is also, how Jack's doing. Good.
Now,
I don't know if it's partly because you're a parent, but I feel like I learn about entire cinematic universes when I talk to a parent, because they're like, oh yeah, Peppa Pig has this whole constellation of situations and characters they're in. They're just out there. And then I learn them from shows like this. It's great.
Yeah. So an important part of the Blippi cinematic universe is that he once pooped on his friend's butt. Mm. And now people are up in arms because they have recast Blippi, presumably Steve Grossman, the guy who, you know, created the whole universe and is a big part of the creative team, the Blippi team, Team Blippi, is
the Blippengers. Sure. Yeah.
But the people are acting like, oh, you think we wouldn't notice? You think you thought that my kid was going to not see this? Like, they're so mad.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened was they did a touring stage show of Blippi. And Steve Grossman is just a person who started making YouTube videos. He's not a trained entertainer. He's not somebody who, you know, you can watch the videos and realize that's like part of the charm. Is he's just a dude in some wacky clothes who is, you know, you feel like it's your dad's fun friend, I'm assuming. So they cast somebody to play Blippi in the stage show, and they were like, whoa, this guy's really good at acting, I guess. Is that what you call it? Acting and dancing and performing? And so they tried to bring this other actor in to play the character of Blippi in a video. And people, I'm just going to read some quotes. Did they not think my extremely observant four-year-old would notice a different dude playing hashtag Blippi? Today, there was a new guy portraying Blippi, and I wondered if this is like Doctor Who, where every few years he or she regenerates. So that's okay. That's probably a fine interpretation. But then one mom wrote, what the heck happened to Blippi? My kid noticed within 4 seconds that it was a different guy, and she was ticked.
Ticked.
I don't know.
A classic.
The one comment that seems like they said, I wish Blippi could just introduce us to his quote friend and maybe he could wear the same outfit, just different colors. Yeah, like what, why do, it's not a, we're not all trying to trick our kids, guys. Why is everybody like reacting like this was an attempt to like pull the wool over, or like it was like a pet that had been put out to pasture? And like you could just be like, no, there's multiple Blippies. Blippi is, you know, a company of people. Just treat your kids like, I don't know, like they don't need to be lied to.
Right.
This could be a little throwback to the Blues Clues era of the big Steve transition, when we got new Steve and we had to see Steve walk out the door for the last time and say goodbye, kids. It was a heartbreaking handoff that I think maybe some people, maybe our generation or more closely my sister's generation, never recovered from that final goodbye to Steve, where they're like, you know what? We just need to hard cut from one to the other. We can't have this like, we can't put them out to pasture, because then they'll be too sad to watch the other Blippi go. And it's like, I don't know. Well, maybe it worked. Maybe it didn't. I'm not sure here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also we just need a more peaceful transition of power between the Blippies, right? Like our Blippi system depends on a smooth recognition of the next Blippi who won the election, right? We gotta keep that stable.
Well, they forgot to let the white smoke go. The white smoke that was like the new Blippi has been elected. Right. And old Blippi show now passed the giant hat off, or the orange glasses off from one to the other.
Wow. I do wonder how much the people who are up in arms over the Blippi transition have in common with like people who were at the QCon. I wonder if there was like a small offshoot of like people being like, what is this shit? Anyways, keep your eyes open, guys. That's all I'm saying. Blippi, you know, they're going to try and fool you with this new Blippi. Don't buy it.
Don't buy it.
I'm a Blippi originalist.
Yeah. I just from what you guys said, I really like that. The original Blippi, it looks like his real name was Steven Grossman, but his stage name was Steven John. Like for some reason, his stage name was Steven. I feel like it was huge news for the Steven community that this guy existed. And then also, the poop thing, but he's really a Steven. Okay, we're fine. He's not one of us. Like us Stevens are fine. This is different.
Wait, how is Steven spelled?
It's Stevin in the thing I'm reading. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know why. Yeah.
I respect it.
Wow. There's a guy named Steven, and he was like, I really need a stage name. Steven. Pretended to be a Steven. I don't know.
Again, one of those times when it seems like somebody was forced to make a binding, permanent decision within a second, like at gunpoint.
Yeah.
Right.
Evan?
Like was somewhere between using his name and Kevin, and just
there you go.
Yeah.
Like when you have two ideas for how to say a sentence and you're in the middle of doing it. Yeah, totally. Exactly.
All right, let's take a quick break and we will be right back to talk about less important things.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
the war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
And we're back, and we all got a, I don't know if it was a rude awakening, but, you know, I think we've been aware that the Q movement is still out there, still going strong, but had a big weekend last weekend. There was a Texas convention where various speakers, including a congressman and Michael Flynn, just, you know, repeated the lies that the Q movement is based on, like the foundational lies that it's stolen. Michael Flynn even when asked like why America hasn't had a Myanmar style uprising or coup, which in case you're not familiar, that means that like protesters are shot, journalists are put in prison, and a new undemocratically elected government is put into power by the military. He said he thinks that would be great, that we should have that.
Fantastic. So,
and I think it's easy to dismiss the Q movement as sort of a collection of delusional, you know, narcissists shouting, do your own research, as their singular argument for every bizarre belief they've made up, because like that is what it is. But it also, I feel like, first of all, Trump is totally on board with this. Maggie Haberman just announced that he's been saying that he fully believes that he will be reinstated as president by August. And that's like where his sort of laser focus on the audits.
Just keep moving those goalposts back. Just keep moving it back a little bit more. It was March for the first storm, and now it's August. He's going to be like October. I'm telling you, October. That's going to be the month.
But they're leaning into a new thread, which is that America needs to have a Myanmar style coup where the military deposes the democratically elected ruler and installs their own. That feels significant to me. I know it's easy, like a lot of people, but like, especially because like I feel like in the mainstream media there's this division where it's like, ah, the Q movement is silly, but it's being led by Donald Trump, who is also leading the Republican Party, like fully the way, no, like, is more powerful, has more power in that party than I feel like any individual has ever had in one of the major parties in like U.S. history. Like, he just determines what happens there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Less than 3 years, we're going to have a major presidential election where one of the major parties' platform is QAnon shit, is stop the steal, and is basically tacitly in approval of an armed uprising.
Yeah. And if I remember right, the previous election, like the 2020 official Republican platform, the platform was just a one-page document stapled to the front of the 2016 platform, and it said, "We support Donald J. Trump." They didn't have issues for, I think, the first time in an American election. The major party wasn't like, "This is our candidate, and also this is what we believe." They were just like, "No, this wonderful strange man. That's our entire platform." Yeah. Anyway, this is democracy. That's what we like.
Right.
And any issues at all that were brought to the table were just to refute them. We're going to be like, "That's not a thing. We don't believe in that. Climate change. We're not, that's a liberal hoax right there." It's just everything is anti. You're right. There's no ground to stand on. That's upsetting.
Yeah. And I feel like this is because it's been politicized, and because Democrats recognize that it's been politicized, they are, you know, the right wing, like a right wing terror group or a group that's threatening to overthrow the government, is being treated more passively by the mainstream than, like, if a congressman and a former, you know, major military official were talking about overthrowing the U.S. government for any other cause, it would be like the end of the news cycle. But just because of all the normalization that has happened, and because of the Fox News advantage that the right has, where they, you know, have all mainstream commentators and mainstream Democrats frightened of being attacked, that this is being treated more passively than it would if any left-wing group like made similar claims. It's just because of what has gone on with the Republican Party, and like how the Democrats have just kind of been controlled by the right-wing media over the last, you know, 15 years. We're now at a point where they're going to get away with this.
Yeah. And I wonder how much of this just springs from most Americans don't know anything about Myanmar. Like, you can just, they switch governments in Myanmar, and it's like, well, I want to switch governments, not learning anything more. Great.
Right. Yeah. I mean, seems to be working out well. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you following Myanmar? Well, yeah. I mean, it's still a country, right?
Yeah. But I don't know. I remain really thrilled about the previous election, because there won't be a Republican president until January of 2025. At the earliest. Feels good.
Right.
I think they're not processing it very well. It seems to be the issue.
Yep.
Well, speaking of not processing it very well, I don't, like, so people are seemingly waking up to the fact that sports fans act badly a lot of the time. But I can't tell if it's more now than there's ever been in the past, or if it's just we're kind of more looking for it. But what is unavoidable is that like there's been a continuation of a trend we talked about on last week's shows where someone threw a water bottle at Kyrie Irving after he called Boston sports fans out for being hostile and racist. And the fan base spent days accusing him of overreacting and being dramatic. And then they were like, yeah, you're so overreacting that we're going to prove you exactly right.
Confirm all of the beliefs in one swift moment. Spectacular.
It was like culturally there was so much riding on him not throwing a water bottle at Kyrie Irving that he just like couldn't help himself. And then a fan at a Sixers game, which I think this one is a type of mania that has been less covered but is equally there. A fan at a Sixers game on Monday night ran onto the court and had to be tackled and like arrested. Which is more the diffuse mania of just like people just having so much energy and not knowing how to act. And I don't know if you guys have like anecdotally experienced anything. I was on an Amtrak train where a passenger who is shockingly a white male refused to wear a mask and spent 15 minutes calling the conductor of the train a bitch and everything else he could get his brain on before she stopped the train and kicked him off.
Nice.
Which is kind of cool to just kick someone off a train, like just between stops.
There you go. No ticket.
I know trains go fast, but what a gentle form of transportation to go wild on. Right?
Yeah, like right?
Where the gondola's taken. Come on. Right. Come on. Like, chill out.
I was at a BevMo over the weekend getting supplies for a Memorial Day party, and there were a couple people there who were so amazed by the size of a liquor bottle that they were almost running around the store with it, just going, "Can you believe this thing? Look at the size of this!" And it scared my girlfriend a little bit, and you could tell everybody else was like, "Can you please calm down? We're in a BevMo, sir. This is a BevMo."
There's plenty of Bev for everyone. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it like a Magnum bottle?
It was,
it was a larger than average bottle.
Of course. It was a very large liquor bottle. But I feel like at this point, you know, I feel like I've seen enough music videos to know what a bottle of that size looks like. And I would see it and simply identify it like, this is one of those bottles. Yes, I've seen these before in the movies and the television, as opposed to like, "Can you believe this? I feel like an ant next to this giant bottle of tequila."
It's right.
Like, please, sir, please. It's like literally pacing around the store, just bottle in hand, like trying to show other people. It was like, what are you doing? What are we doing here?
Right.
Again, this is a BevMo.
Right.
The sports stories make me think of, I'm going to a sports game on Friday, a minor league baseball game here in Durham for the first like sporting event in forever. And then also I follow the major league team, the Chicago White Sox, and their most recent rainy game, there was a streaker apparently, and then also the streaker tried to hide in the tarp that they put over the field for the rain. So I think there's some innovative human behavior in this new era opening up.
That's kind of groundbreaking.
Yeah.
I do wonder like how much of, so, you know, there's been a lot of conversation about like anxiety, like people feeling post-pandemic anxiety. I think people are understanding what social anxiety is for maybe the first time now that they've spent a year, you know, in solitary. And so I think we, like, alcohol was built to deal with that. Like, alcohol is.
Yes.
So good at helping with social anxiety. And when you have social anxiety, as somebody who has spent a lifetime treating social anxiety with alcohol, I think there's something unhealthy about just having that crutch that is like your solution. And there's like unprocessed conflict that is just going to come out in energy in some unhealthy way. If you're just taking problem, apply booze, it's going to be fun, but occasionally you're going to try and hide in the tarp as they cover the field during a rain game.
To me, it sounds like that streaker forgot how a slip and slide works. It's like you go over the tarp. You need to go on top of the tarp to get the full, you know, advantage of the water on the, you know, and really get a nice slide going. But I mean, under the tarp is new. I mean, I don't know. You know, go off.
Right. The cops are like, well, it's been years since he used a slip and slide. I think we can give him a break. Right. I mean, it's hard to remember the system.
Exactly.
There is, I feel like, one consequent trend or like parallel trend is that people are being a little bit more respectful of athletes as people, like as humans. I mean, they're experiencing shit that no human should have to experience, but I do think that it has been commonplace in the past. For instance, Russell Westbrook got popcorn dumped on him after an injury, which is fucking horrible. But I do think it is also something that wasn't all that unexpected coming from Philadelphia sports fans, right? Who threw batteries at Santa Claus during an Eagles game in the 80s. But so Naomi Osaka, who's the best tennis player in the world, just so she was like, I don't want to do the press because I have anxiety around talking to the media, and it makes being part of a major like a very unhealthy atmosphere for me. And Major League Tennis, I'm going to call it. That's not the name, but
no, you got a Major League Tennis, the MLT.
MLT.
The National Football Tennis.
That's it.
That's the one. Was like not really that supportive.
That's what NFT stands for.
National Football Tennis.
Thank you.
That's how I explain it to my bros. All right. Yeah, exactly. So NFT, think of it as a nasty football tennis, dog.
Oh, boy.
But so she was basically like, I feel like shit when I have to face the media. That makes sense to me because the media kind of views athletes, especially athletes in like these individual sports, as both like adversary and thing to exploit, and not necessarily as like a person who they're looking out for. So she ended up withdrawing from the French Open and has seen some criticism, but I think for the most part, people think it's progress that somebody can be like, I need a break for my mental health to like not play tennis and be on a national stage and be like constantly interviewed.
For real.
Which I think is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think anybody criticizing her should watch the entirety of a sports press conference. It's not a valuable use of time for anyone involved. And the sports writer should find some other way to produce something about the game, like watching it.
Right. Yeah. Now, when you hit that one ball, can you tell us what you were thinking? Like, as the ball went over the net and went where you wanted it to go, were you like, nice? Yes.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, essentially, I was just doing the thing that I practice 40 hours a day, and it paid off in that moment. Mm-hmm. No. And then like 40 other hands go up and ask an equally inane question. And then, so that would be one thing, is if they were just asking really dumb questions, but then they get like crushed for saying something that is like misinterpreted in some way. And the only... The only, like, I think I mentioned this on last week's show, the only, like, classic moments from press conferences are where athletes and coaches become laughingstocks, like the practice playoffs. I actually used Jim Moore's cadence from playoffs for Allen Iverson's practice, but that's fine. Well,
honestly, perfect in its own way.
But anyways, there's other post-pandemic things happening, like New York is deciding whether to keep to-go cocktails as a thing once we open back up, which I personally feel like I was like, yeah, maybe that's like slightly irresponsible, but I don't know. Maybe it's fine. But then I saw that the people who are lobbying against it is liquor stores. So it's like, oh, you're just you're just mad that people are consuming a more responsible amount of liquor and paying more for it.
Yeah. I'm hoping that the response from this whole thing is to take things from it and not completely push to the side. Like, if that was then, yes, put it away. Right. Not thinking about it again. No more of this pandemic. It didn't exist, didn't happen. It's like, let's learn from that whole thing and evolve. It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. It's great. It's relative. Let me walk that back a little bit.
Pandemics are great.
Yeah. we could be better from the shared traumatic experience that we all had. Let's do that.
For sure.
That's the take.
Daniel, when you said put it away, I was imagining that huge BevMo bottle. You're like, just yes. Shove it back in the shelf.
Sir, please like, put it back,
like
put it away.
Heaving
it away.
Under the weight of it. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And I was imagining a shirtless Anthony Kiedis.
Put it away
now. Is that the one where he's like covered in silver paint? Or anyway.
Oh.
I'm from a generation where there were things called music videos.
I like that all the famous Red Hot Chili Pepper outfits are either like body paint or one sock.
Yeah,
that's exactly what they're famous for dressing in.
That's right.
Oh, Jack, you are 100% right about that one. Good call with the silver body paint.
Yeah.
I had to watch a whole 2 seconds of this music video to confirm that, yep, you are right. This is the one.
And just really enunciating the hell out of some words in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do want to, this is more of a... I'm having trouble processing this strand of the COVID story, and I wanted to just kind of get you guys' thoughts on what you've seen of it. So basically, there's an article in the Associated Press that is, you know, Europe sees a drop in the virus just in time for summer tourism. In time for summer, Europe sees dramatic fall in virus cases. And it never once mentions a relationship between climate and the weather that locations experiencing in COVID trends. And that's something that we like talked about before. And then it kind of like it went away, despite the fact that we gave it the TDZ bump. I can't believe it wasn't like all over the news the next day. But like,
how many shots is that bump? Is that one or is that?
Yeah. Exactly.
There you go.
At the same time, there was like a story in the Wall Street Journal about how like southern states have largely faced a lower risk of transmission during the winter and spring months because people spend more time outside and also it tends to be more humid there. So like in northern states where people were spending time inside because of heating, which dries out the air indoors, they just didn't see as high a transmission. And that's especially notable when you realize that they are also among the lowest in terms of people getting vaccinated. So it's just weird because when you read the whole AP article, they don't mention this once. Mm. But then you read the Wall Street Journal article and I'll just read this one paragraph. These are outdoor societies, and the effects of the outdoors is much greater than the public appreciates, said Marty Makary, a cancer surgeon and epidemiologist at Johns Hopkins University, someplace called Johns Hopkins. I don't know. He said, airflow, seasonality, and outdoor culture are probably primary drivers of the reduction in cases. And that's like when you look at the time when America had its worst spikes, it was like during the winter. And when you look at like times when it sort of went down, it was during the summer, and now we're like at a good place. But I don't know, it just feels like one of those things where, and I think this just generally applies to both parents talking to their kids about Blippi and the mainstream media talking to Americans, that like just tell the truth, like just trust people to have access to the truth. I just feel like anytime you're hiding something because you're afraid that it's going to be like used by this group or that group, it just fucks things up. It makes it like overall harder for people to trust the mainstream media, if that's what's going on here, that they're just like hiding this fact because they think it'll make people act more irresponsible during summer months.
Yeah, they really should just go ahead and tell people everything. Like you can borderline tell your child that Blippi pooped on his friend's butt, right? Yeah. Children understand poop and butts, and the
maybe more than
in a more serious way.
Yeah,
yeah. But in a more serious way, yeah. Tell people how this public safety needs to work. We've had such chaotic messaging throughout the whole thing.
Yeah,
really, really rough.
It's been chaotic messaging, I feel like, on everything. There should be an honesty board that's like, here's how, well, I mean, I feel like it's just, what's that blog that just rates things like Pants on Fire or PolitiFact, right?
Oh,
it's PolitiFact. It's right. Like, it, you know, I, but Yeah, PolitiFact or whatever it is should just be part of how news gets reported in general, because like this spin does not help anyone get a better idea of how we need to move forward as a society.
Yeah,
right.
But then PolitiFact has its own issues.
It does have its own issue. Yeah, exactly. That's fair.
Right. They keep lighting all these pants on fire.
Yeah, exactly. That cannot be good for the
internet. They need pants.
Cannot be good.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. It's got to be bad for the environment, right? That's a lot of carbon exactly. being released.
The pants burning? I think so.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed, and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hello. And we're back, and we are joined by super producer Anna Hosnier!
Woo! Woo, woo, woo! Hi.
And I saved a Bo anecdote for you. So yesterday is first time in a long time being in public.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the train. He picked up my Diet Coke half full, smelled it deeply, and then said in a voice that was loud enough for the whole train car to hear, it smells like the coronavirus. Just like, you fucking burned me, man.
Yes. Yes.
What?
Bo is a legend.
It doesn't really make sense.
Wow.
Pretty... Oh my gosh.
You guys were blacklisted on that train.
I know. And it was annoying because I was already refusing to wear my mask. So
jeez.
I was like, come on, man.
Incredible.
This is gonna hurt my ability to argue with the conductor. Tell that story as if it wasn't me.
Smells like coronavirus.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, did I show you guys my new giant bottle of tequila? Yeah.
It's in the other room. Look at it. Look at it. It's so big. Yeah.
Size of this right here.
I guess my question is, how does Bo know what coronavirus smells like?
That's the question that we all
He's
have.
He's just like, chemicals?
Yeah.
It's like, this Diet Coke is not good for you, man.
Yeah. That would be amazing if he was, like, if babies born at the time, or like who were infants at the time of coronavirus, like could smell the coronavirus, like that was the stupid superpower that they developed.
Oh wow.
Anyways, that's that my theory. Now I'm using him as a coronavirus sniffing dog for all things. All right, that's enough anecdotes about children. Let's talk about A Quiet Place too. Because the box office is back, baby. Yeah. Did anybody see A Quiet Place, AQP2?
Not yet. Mm-hmm. Not yet.
Have you guys gone to a movie since things have reopened?
Also not yet.
Yeah, we were, there's an Alamo Draft House in Raleigh, and we were actually thinking about going, but we have not gone yet. Yeah. But we feel like comfortable. I think we're ready to do it. Get the food and the beer and everything.
Hell yeah.
I think I'm waiting for the whole Fast 50.
Fast 50.
Fast and Furious 50.
Yeah.
And then I'll go back.
I feel like it's still down a little bit. It didn't hit 60 million, which is what people were expecting. It hit 57, so it's close. But I think like the reviews were so good. There was such little competition that I think this is still a sign that like people aren't quite as willing to go to movies until you don't have to wear a mask the whole time. Would be my guess. And can just use a mask as a popcorn muzzle, which is how I plan to repurpose my mask.
Popcorn muzzle. Yeah, hell yeah.
The old feed bag. Love
the
it.
The old popcorn feed bag.
Well, I also don't know if I like missed the theater. Of the things I have missed in the pandemic, like especially when it was winter and we couldn't do stuff outside, that was hard. But the movie theater, that's probably not top 10.
I'm probably there with you, even though it used to be like my favorite thing to do. It's also like, although outdoor movie theaters and like drive-throughs are one of those things from the pandemic that I hope hangs around, because those are really nice and fun.
That's cool. Yeah,
those existed before the pandemic.
I know, but they weren't as common. I feel like maybe
right.
I think they came
for
back. My awareness, I hope, persists that those exist. All right. It is time, of course, for super producer Anna Hosnier's streaming corner. We need to get you a drop.
I already have
a
one.
Theme song. Okay, let me hear it.
I have a theme song. Remember? Wait, hold on. How'd it go? Well, I actually have two. I have an opener and a closer.
Okay.
Which I don't recall, so we're just gonna improvise it again.
All right.
It's streaming. My family is missing.
There it is.
Okay, I do remember.
Thanks
now.
For singing along.
nice.
Alex, in case you aren't aware, Anna spends most of our days in the office back when we worked in the same room improvising songs, and they usually have to do with the fact that her family is missing.
Indeed.
And I can't find them.
And she can't find them. Yeah.
Can't find them at all.
It's actually
a real Taken situation, except there's nobody with a particular set of skills.
That's actually like a really sad situation.
True crime. More like toon crime. Right, folks?
Right.
That's the fun thing crime. Here. That's a nice thing to hear about.
I mean, we're laughing, but my family is missing, so.
Yeah, it's fine. We laugh not to cry.
Yeah. So first off, shall we talk about anything
yes.
around Mayor of Easttown before we get
sure.
to your Rex?
It just ended. Mayor of Easttown just ended. Guys, if you guys have not been watching Mayor of Easttown, you have sure been missing out. Mayor of Easttown has been a great enjoyment towards the end of the pandemic, you know? I've really enjoyed watching Kate Winslet completely engross herself into this small town outside of Pittsburgh lady.
Philadelphia.
And, sure. Pennsylvania person.
Yeah.
Small town Pennsylvania person where she vapes. She wears tall collars. What are those things called? Turtlenecks? Tall collars?
Tall collars.
Tall
yes.
collars. Yeah. That's
turtlenecks. And walks around and drives a big old SUV. Because that's what it's like to live in small town Pennsylvania. Great finale, great show. My God, why was Guy Pearce in it? Everyone's asking.
Right. That's. I don't even know if that should be considered a spoiler. And I got accused of spoiling something the other day. But and sorry for any spoilers. Spoilers if you
spoiler,
don't
Guy
know.
Pearce is in it.
Guy Pearce is in it. But I guess the question of why he's in it suggests... Like, I assumed he was going to somehow play into the overall plot.
Yeah.
But he did not.
I mean, he kind of did, but like, you know what? Yeah, let's not say anymore because it could be a spoiler.
Spoiler.
Spoiler. Spoiler. My family is missing.
There it is.
Got another spoiler for you. Kate Winslet, actually British. So I did know that she was British. However, the experience of... Going from having watched the full season without seeing her speak in any other accent to then there's like a after the finale interview and just like hearing her suddenly go posh on me. It was like I was shocked. I was like acting is magic and
also,
we should not trust it.
The actor who plays her daughter, also British. I was like, who are all these people? They're all British.
Damn Brits.
Yeah.
It actually makes sense.
Well, because the trouble is Philadelphia is fictional. So who do you cast? You have to do British people.
Yeah. Exactly.
You have to do Californians, I guess. I don't know who you find. But
I just assumed you cast a bunch of British people because they're like, that's like kind of the first, one of the first areas they colonized, you know?
Yeah.
I don't really know for sure, but
smart.
You know.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. But they're like, just bring them down. They get it. They could probably hit that Delco accent because it's kind of similar to what they used to talk like or whatever.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, that's linguists theorize that was what the British accent sounded like, and the current British accent is fake. They're all faking it. It's just
no, it's just the accents just evolve. They just evolve over time.
No,
and I do think
it.
A part of it was like, okay, well, now that place exists. But it is true. The original British accent sounded more like a Boston accent than it did what it sounds like now.
Yeah,
I'm not even joking. That's very real.
That's very real.
And then they were like, God, these Bostonites are monsters. Let's talk
you sound
like
idiots.
Like this. Okay, that's a little more Liverpool than I meant it to be. They were all on Kyrie's side.
Right. Yeah. Just throwing water bottles at basketball players. Yeah. Right.
There you go.
Like, we don't roll like that. We're more like this now.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I'm sorry. I apologize.
That sounded great. No, that was perfect.
Dan's displeasure at your British accent was audible. I'm just going
to
put it right here.
No. I loved it.
Do you not like this?
Proper cocky, love.
I'm sorry. I apologize to everyone. Please don't cancel.
Alex, Dan, did you guys watch Mare?
No.
I think we're both going to say no. Yeah, I did not watch it.
I was catching up on Ted Lasso. That's what I. That was my streaming recently.
Were we in like the same house or something?
Same. Maybe.
It's great.
Did you just watch it? It's great. I loved
it. Fantastic. Yeah.
Totally.
Just thrilling.
And very, very up my alley of like kindness wins out. That's just like very heartwarming and winning and everybody does a great performance and you're still rooting for the bad guys at times. And it's like, you know what? This show is great. Wins me over entirely.
Yeah, absolutely. Jokes are good. I grew up in the Midwest and also followed soccer as a kid because my best friend was from Italy. And so I like clued into everything. I just knew everything that was going on all at once. Like I was in both ponds, you know, it was great.
Fantastic.
I don't see Ted Lasso on a streaming corner.
No,
so
it's not.
Ask you guys to shut up about
it. It's not on my streaming corner. I actually forbade anyone to speak about Ted Lasso. Just kidding. I haven't watched it. I watched the first episode, but I never really got into it because everyone's so fucking nice. I was like, grow up. So I completely right skipped on. Over it. But I have heard a lot of good things about it, and I probably will eventually go back.
Yeah, no, watching. That is definitely the show that I am most aware that I am missing and would love. Yeah. And just love sheer inertia of the energy it takes to get into a new show and the energy I do not have.
It's like it's fun in a way where the best character might be a guy who shows up like more than halfway through. Like there's so much going on. Like it's already good and then new fun stuff all the time.
Yep.
It's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, we will cut that out because
Jack,
not on the streaming corner.
I asked for one thing. I said no Ted Lasso talk.
Jack, get a hold of your show. What is take back control? All right. What is something you recommend?
Another one of my stream choices would be Bo Burnham's Inside.
Oh.
Now I don't love to promote tall white men. Let alone small white men. I hate it. I don't promote white men. But Bo Burnham, what a talent. I mean, unbelievable. This guy, I don't even know how to describe. I'm not going to give a lot away because he just does this like really great kind of deep dive into internet culture, and that's not even what I just said. It's not even remotely doing it justice, but he films an entire special inside one small room, which I'm assuming is like the back house to his like nice house.
Mansion.
It's like a tiny room with just like recording equipment and just, you know, filming equipment in it. So I really recommend it. It's on Netflix.
A throwback to his early days.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, actually, I've been a fan of Bo Burnham for years because I used to love his first show on MTV called Zach Stone's Gonna Be Famous or something like that. It's really funny. I really recommend going back and watching it if you guys ever, or if you missed it. Hilarious. I knew back then, I was like, this kid, he's got it. And let me tell you, I was right. So I really recommend it. Like, he's just so good. Like, he also, towards the end, like, you can see the pandemic is breaking him and working on this special is breaking him. And he's just very honest throughout all of it. And I loved it. I really enjoyed it. And so, yeah, please check that out.
The podcast Good One just did a rerun. I don't usually listen to that one. It actually came on when I was doing something else. And I heard like it starts off with the bit of comedy that they are then going to do a deep dive into. I don't know why I'm like qualifying this and being like, I don't normally like it because it's a fine show and well done. But this particular one was about the like Kanye remix part at the end of his last special. And it just gave me, again, like an appreciation for how brilliant that dude is. And also that he was having panic attacks like daily during that tour that ended up producing like such a completely amazing piece of tent.
And then the panic attacks just led him to be like, I'm just going to go write a great movie about an eighth grader's experience. You're like, yeah, what? Exactly. Okay. All right. Killing it. Killing it. That's he gets five. Killing it from me. That's my new rating system.
Love it.
Okay. My next recommendation is actually, we don't have a lot of time, so I'm only going to give two more.
Okay.
I'm going to do three more. You know what? Live large, you know?
Let's go.
My next recommendation is Flatbush Misdemeanors on Showtime. Ooh. Now, you might be like, huh? Mm. But
you nailed it.
It stars Dan Perlman and Kevin Iso, which actually, hilariously enough, I saw Kevin Iso back at Bridgetown Comedy Festival circa 2014. And I literally walked up to him and said, please give me your email. I would love to book you guys. 10 for 10 out here. I'm killing it with this talent booking. Okay. I just know who's hot. I know who's hot, baby. Okay. I got my eye on the talent, whatever.
10 out of 10 killing it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So he, you know what? I'm going to give this show actually a 4 out of 5 killings it.
Because while
I do think it's really like funny show. And really well written, and it's about two friends just kind of navigating their life in Flatbush, it's a little slow, but it's actually really, I just enjoy it because it's funny. We got the return of Weebo, if you guys ever watched The Wire.
Weebo?
God. Weebo? Wow. Okay, Weebo. My bad.
Did.
That's okay.
It's Weebo. It's Weebo. That's cool.
That's like a streaming service or something.
Well, Hassan Johnson, who played Weebo. Yeah, I really just said Weebo. I'm out. He returns. I haven't seen him in anything in a while, so it was actually great to see him pop up. Sure. And he's playing a character that's torturing these poor two guys. So yeah, I would recommend checking it out. There's 2 episodes out so far on Showtime. You know, like I said, 4 out of 5 killings it.
Uh huh. Yep.
Killing it. Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Another show I would recommend, which is on HBO Max, is the, what's it called when each episode's about a different thing?
Anthology.
Mm.
Anthology series called Jeopardy.
I should have been on Jeopardy.
Okay.
What are anthologies, Alex?
Jack, you can stop doing buzzer motions in the podcast. It's really distracting.
Every time I talk, I smack my head.
You did say, what is Generation Hustle? So technically you are out.
Okay.
Yeah, so the show is called Generation Hustle. Every episode's about a different scammer, you know, who got away with what they were, well, not really got away with, but just like scammed people for a pretty long time before they were called out. And the episode that really stood out to me is the WeWork episode, because I do want to admit right now, Jack and I were accomplices to the WeWork scam. That's what? Right, you guys. We worked out of a WeWork, Jack and I. Okay. Yes. We were there. We were putting money into this cult leader's pocket. We were there being like goose fraba with him or whatever it was. We were drinking his fruit water. That's right. We were having their coffee. We were literally holding hands in circles and chanting. Not yep. really, but, you know, we basically were, because we were there for a decent amount of time. So that's right. We're a part of the problem. Jack, admit it.
I admit it fully.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
I was
so, the, yeah.
Wow.
All I needed was that cucumber water, and I was like, I will kill someone for you, bro.
I'm in.
Yeah, so it's basically, it's about how the founder basically, like, deified himself, and then turns out he was just, like, taking a ton of money out of the company and turned himself, for the most part, into a billionaire, and then, like, they tried to go public with an IPO, and then they released all this information. Everyone's like, wait, no, I can't do that. And he was like, gotta go. And yeah, and it was a very culty environment, and everything was very intense. And you had to go to like summer camps. Like, and if you couldn't go, you had to have like a written excuse from like a real, like a doctor as to why you couldn't go to a festival for the weekend for your WeWork company. Wow. It was very intense. I recommend. And there's a bunch of other scammers they cover. You know, if you're a fan of Scam Goddess, you know, you might enjoy learning about these other scammers. So,
is it hosted by Lacey?
I wish, honestly. HBO Max. There's no host.
Get your head out of your ass, HBO Max.
It's just done, you know, like narrative. No host. They just tell you what's going on.
Yeah, quit being a blippy, HBO Max. Cut it out.
Cut it out. God. Get your shit out of your friend's butt, HBO Max.
So the final show I want to talk about, which I personally think is the greatest show. I absolutely, ooh, like, I love this show. Do I think it should have been created? Absolutely not. This show should have never been made. Absolutely. Whoever was like, give this person this show should be fired. But it is everything I've ever wanted to see. It is Mark Wahlberg's Wall Street. Oh my fucking God. Are you kidding me? The entire show is Mark Wahlberg being like, I'm busy.
I don't have time for this.
And that is it. That is it. The whole show is it. Look, I'm always doing stuff.
Perfect.
And that's it. That is it. He's like, look, man, having a business is tough. And I'm busy. And you're like, what is going on? There's no rhyme or reason. He's just like, and here I am at a movie premiere. And here I am at a business meeting. Why are you filming these business meetings? This does not seem productive. You shouldn't really film these business meetings. It sounds like you guys are actually giving a lot of information away about your weird Wahlburgers burger shop. But that's the show. And so he's just carrying a Sharpie all the time because he needs to sign shit all the time, apparently. He signs like contracts with Sharpies and then he signs like autographs. And he like is like looking at photos of himself like shirtless and he's like, wow.
Oh my God, like, okay. I look amazing.
and then he's like,
only Sharpies.
It's like 2:30 in the morning and he's working out in a hotel room that they turn every hotel room he goes into like his own personal gym. And it's like 2:30 in the morning and he's like, oh, 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 like working out. And you're like, what the fuck? Where do you get off acting like that at 2:30 in the morning in a hotel room in London? Like, I don't give a shit if you're Mark Wahlberg. People are sleeping. No, it's the greatest show I've ever seen. And I recommend it. I don't know. If you guys just want to see some straight nonsense, check it out.
Man.
All right. I'm gonna watch
it. It's called Mark Wahlberg's Wall Street.
Yeah.
Is it spelled how I think? It's spelled how I think.
Yes, exactly what you think.
There we go.
And the opening credits are like him with it's like animated, but it's like a spray can. Just like on Wall Street, like the sign that's like Wall Street, like the street sign, him just being like, putting an H over the other L and then being like, street.
For God's sake.
And you're like, whoa. And yes, his clothing line, I'm sure you can imagine what his clothing line is. It's just all jumpsuits.
Oh, I was trying to find a name, but yeah, great.
I was going to say.
All jumpsuits without shirts, aka pants.
No, but Henleys, bro. Henleys. What do buff guys wear? Henleys. Duh.
Of course.
I should mention that earlier I cited the Wall Street Journal. I was citing the WAHL Street Journal. I have a subscription to.
Yeah, that's why you kept saying bro in between every other word.
Come on, bro. I
think he's doing too much. I think he needs to scale it back. Like he's trying to expand this gym. But like low-key, it's clear the gym, like the corporate part of the gym is not interested in working with him. And it's like really awkward. You're like, why would you film and release this? They're like, yeah, I don't know, Mark. Seems like we're really not willing to take that risk. And he's like, come on, man. I'm here. I'm ready to go. And they're like, yeah, no, I don't. No, we don't know about that. And he's like, come on. And you're like, is he going to beat up people to get what he wants? It just makes no sense. It's a lot of things where I'd be like, this doesn't make you look like a good businessman.
Right.
This makes sounds it like look
he's
like
a bad
you're
businessman,
annoying.
And he decided to make a show about the one thing he's really like average to bad at.
Yeah.
Which is the wrong business decision, it's kind of a self-fulfilling thing.
Yeah. I think it's absolutely, truly just funny. It's just so silly. Like, you're just like, what? Why are you doing that? Like, they'll be like, yeah, Mark is so busy. Oh, what's that? He's filming a scene? Well, right after that scene, he's got a business meeting. Like, literally, that's what it's like. You're like, what? That's too much. You need to relax. When do you get downtime? What? He doesn't? He's busy. Right. And that's the whole show. And I got to say, I won't stop watching. And I can't wait till season two.
His team's entire job is just frantically looking for business meetings they can stick him in just to make him
feel. It does
feel
like that. And he also has his entourage with him, which are like the same guys he's been hanging out with since the Funky Bunch or whatever.
The entourage.
It's like all the same dudes. Right. Literally, it is his entourage, right. But it's all the Funky Bunch guys who are still like hanging out with him. And he's like, I keep the same friends for years. And they're just like a bunch of like dudes who just like stand behind him. And I'm like, this is everything.
Rules.
Everybody needs their own turtle.
Yeah, except for there's no turtle-like guys at all.
Well, they're all like ripped now, I'm sure.
That's
no,
true.
Oh, that's
yeah,
the thing. They all work out together, like, and then he just like tortures the guys who aren't as strong as them. Like, come on, man, you can do it. You can do it. And the guy's like, no, I can't. And you're like, this is it. Yep. Mark Wahlberg is the most Mark Wahlberg person you ever thought Mark Wahlberg could be. So
there you go. Sounds about right.
And that's been streaming. My family is streaming. Missing.
Oh, remix.
Well, thank you, Anna. Thank you, Alex, so much for being here, man. Such a pleasure having you.
It's a joy. Thank you, guys.
Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
Yeah, I'm at Alex Schmitty on Twitter, alexschmitty.com, and I make the show Secretly Incredibly Fascinating. And I hope people check it out. It's a podcast about, every episode's about something that seems ordinary, and then we go into the
history and science and lore of why it's amazing. So a bunch of research, tightly edited, and then funny guess. So, you know, look at the feed, see which one you like. You can search secretly. It usually comes up in the player, or go to sifpod.fun because also the website can end in .fun.
It's tagged in the footnotes, so you can also...
Footnotes?
Oh.
Footnotes. Yeah, and is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, this is a tweet from @afraidofwasps. So already great. And the entire tweet is, guy who has only seen The Boss Baby watching his second movie, getting a lot of Boss Baby vibes from this.
That's so good.
Oh, wonderful.
Daniel.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for guest hosting today.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at @DJ_Daniel. I'm there every Wednesday and Sunday playing video games or Dungeons and Dragons or building computers, doing something like that. And a tweet I like comes from the legend John Gabris. Wish iOS had a tap back that said, sorry, I texted you. I'm so high and forgot about time zones. Because I have definitely texted people very late at night, been like, it's 5 a.m. over there. You might even be just waking up. Like, I'm not going to interrupt your sleep cycle. I'm so sorry about that. So shout out John Gabris @Gabris on Twitter.
Yeah. Have sympathy for us. We're on the West Coast.
I'm so sorry.
It's still late here. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
I believe I just read it.
And is there a tweet or some other work? Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Get those cats off the prompter. Get them off of there. Stupid cats.
I was asking myself.
Yeah, no, totally. I believe
it. Totally.
Jack, what's a tweet that you've been enjoying?
I'll go with this tweet from Noah Garfinkel, who tweeted, I want to Timothy. I want to Chalamet. Yeah.
Perfect. That's perfect.
Perfect. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we recommend you go check out. Super producer Anna Hosnier.
Sorry.
First of all, where can people find you? And second of all, do you have a song that you recommend people check out?
Yeah, I'm @AnnaHosnier on Twitter. I think I'm Shadow Band. That's just a thought.
You're what?
Yeah, I think because I was like hacked and then suspended and then I tweet about Palestine. So I think I'm Shadow Band. Wow, I didn't mean to pick up an accent just then. So I don't know if you can see my tweets, but you can follow me @AnnaHosnier.
Yeah. A great follow.
There you go.
And I would say the song I recommend for us to reach... Wait, what am I saying? The song the song I recommend at the end is Fouché. I don't know if I'm saying that wrong. It's Fouché. And the song is called Deep End. It's just like a good vibe jam. I just really feel it. I'll just roll like, ooh. And I just enjoy it. I like nice, quiet music now because as I get older and that's it, as I get older. So great. Enjoy that. Fouché, Fouché, Deep End.
All right, we will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then.
Bye. Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.